Welcome to another episode of the Tinker Talks podcast. I'm your host, Second Lieutenant Casey Ann Cornwall. So this month, Team Tinker has been observing National PTSD Awareness Month. It's a month dedicated to spreading awareness to PTSD and to also empower those who are struggling with PTSD to in fact seek treatment. So with me today is a very special guest from the 72nd Medical Group, Major Carla Tarantine. Ma'am, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Please take a moment to introduce yourself.
Sure. So my name is Carla Tarantine. I'm a clinical social worker. I work in the mental health clinic. I've been a social worker for about 20 years. So about nine of that or half-ish of that has been active duty in the Air Force. So I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I'm up the street from home. And Tinker is my fourth duty station. So I've been stationed at Travis Air Force Base, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Shepherd, and now Tinker. So really diverse experience across MAJCOMS. It's been a good time. So my parents are also here, so that's been a little plus. So I'm happy to be home. So and I'm currently the mental health element chief.
Oh, that's amazing. So I know how important it is to be around family or close to family. So I'm definitely jealous of you. My family, they're all the way over on the East Coast in New Jersey, and I do miss them dearly. But to dive right on in, can you tell our listeners what PTSD is and what the symptomologies of PTSD are?
Sure. So PTSD, I think we're all familiar with some form of the acronym PTSD. But it stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. So it is a diagnosed mental health condition that's triggered by something terrifying or traumatic that has happened to us. So that is one of the key indicators for any diagnosis of PTSD, is an experienced event or a witnessed event of something terrible or traumatic. So that could be, an example would be physical, sexual assault, a terrorist act, combat, or a major accident. Something, usually a big indicator is like fear that your life is in danger, fear that your life was going to end, or fear that someone else was going to be in imminent danger. So some of the PTSD symptoms to look out for are intrusive memories or thoughts. So that's just a fancy term for unwarranted thoughts that are negative. So things that might remind you of the event, or just scary thoughts in general. Avoidance. So typically when something bad or painful happens to us, we sort of curate our lives around not experiencing that again. So avoiding people, places, things, situations that might remind us of the event. Negative changes in mood or our thoughts, so feeling numb or blah about life in general, feeling detached from ourselves, feeling detached from other people, being unable to experience joy or positive emotions, and then just warped thoughts about yourself, other people, or the world in general, thinking that in general things aren't safe or things are bad. You can also look out for changes in physical or emotional reactions to things. So if you notice yourself having overreactions to everyday things, or always feeling tense or on edge, if you can't sleep, if you can't eat, if it's difficult to process your thoughts, just a general change in your personality and how you normally would interact with the world, those are kind of things that could indicate a symptom of PTSD. Wow. So it's important to note, like, the same thing could happen to me or you, and yes, we're not going to have the same response to it. So just because something negative or bad or terrible happens to you, that does not necessarily indicate that you will have a diagnosis of PTSD. So it's important to kind of know what the signs and symptoms are so you can watch yourself, watch out for those around you, just to notice if there's any changes, especially if there's been a significant event. But there is a significant amount of people that can bounce back from terrible things happening to them.
I agree. I appreciate that detailed explanation about what PTSD is and those symptoms that people should look for. I do want the listeners out there who are listening to definitely seek help if you present with any of these symptoms that Major Tarantine just explained. So, ma'am, how prevalent is PTSD in the military?
So PTSD is something that's a significant concern for military members. Our jobs are different than our civilian counterparts. Aside from first responders, police, firemen, et cetera, mm-hmm. The nature of our job is exposure to dangerous things, especially when we start thinking about deployment and, you know, combat situations.
Right.
And so a lot of that can vary also on just different factors. But if there is a significant deployment history, you could be at higher risk to experience those symptoms. So studies have shown that the prevalence of PTSD can range from 10 to 30%. It's such a wide range because there's so many other things at play that could contribute to that.
Right.
Your social support system. Do you have any other underlying mental health conditions?
Right.
What coping skills? Are you using healthy coping skills? What's your work center?
Right.
So I know, like, my job as a mental health provider would look very different than some of my military counterparts in terms of what I would do in a deployed setting
right.
versus what they would do. But if you are in a job where you are constantly in danger mm-hmm. or exposed to threatening situations, you can be at higher risk for a diagnosis of PTSD.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you sharing that. So I published my dissertation. I'm a doctor of psychology, and my dissertation was published on integrated treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, and my population of study was the military.
Oh, nice.
And some of the findings of my studies, or actually doing the literature review, I did find that over 500,000 service members who served in Operation New Dawn, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation Enduring Freedom, they presented with PTSD. So it's very prevalent in the military. But I also want to share too, according to studies, 6 out of 100 Americans present with PTSD. And as late as 2020, 8 million Americans presented with PTSD. So PTSD is not just a military problem. This is very prevalent in the U.S. overall.
Absolutely. I think it goes back to just what we discussed initially is, mm-hmm. you know, if you, as a human being, if you experience a traumatic event, and I mean, we're not, you know, we're not privy to those types of experiences.
Right.
I think just being a human being, terrible things can happen and we could be subjected to that. So that's not surprising at all.
Yes, I agree. So what are some of the challenges that individuals face when trying to get help?
Individuals in general or military members?
Military members.
No worries. It can look different.
That's true.
So I think in general, historically, I make a joke about mental health, we're the green-eyed monsters, but we're really not. Y'all are looking at me. You see that I'm not a green-eyed monster, but there's been such a stigma around seeking mental health treatment. I think individuals always think that that they'll be perceived as weak or as a failure if they admit that they're having symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They also will think, you know, if I go to mental health, it's going to be career ending.
No.
So I always use the example of, hey, let's say you broke your leg, knock on wood.
Right.
You might have to take some time off from doing your regular duties until you can be, you know, back up
right.
to speed and your leg heals properly, and then we can get you back in the fight. It is the same deal with mental health care. Of sometimes symptoms are so significant. So some of those symptoms that I described in the beginning
right.
of, you know, intrusive thoughts, maybe nightmares, panic attacks, et cetera, that may not be suitable for a deployed location. So we look at it the same way.
Right.
I think it makes it a little more difficult with mental health because I can't scan your brain and see how well you're doing or not well you're doing, as opposed to I could scan your leg and see if your bone is healed.
Right.
So I think that stigma is a big part of it. Barriers to access to, you know, for care. So there could be long wait times, limited availability of mental health providers, both on and off base, or just concerns about confidentiality. So being worried about, oh, if I go to mental health, one, everybody's going to know because they see me walking up there, or that we're going to call and tell your commander or first sergeant everything about you. So, but we have very strict rules around HIPAA and what we are allowed to release. So, but those are things that we have conversations about with members when they engage in mental health treatment. So there might be some reluctance to seek help. I think more of it is more of the stigma, thinking about impact on your military career, being like afraid of being seen as a liability, you know, or just worried about just any consequences that there could be about seeking treatment. And then another thing, another big thing is just denial in general. Denial and minimizing your symptoms, maybe just for yourself, not wanting to think that you're weak, you know, within yourself, not wanting those around you to judge you, and just being afraid that, you know, if I go and I seek help, then I'm giving up. And then some members, I mean, surprisingly, just don't know about the resources available to them. So we do our best to do as much outreach as we can. We partner with our helping agencies to get out there and get information. But if you don't know, just ask. Ask someone. You can ask your coworkers. You can ask your first sergeant, your leadership. You can Google it. But there are resources available to our military members. So it's just good to know. And I'll keep going back to that of just doing check-ins with yourself. So being aware of how you're doing and doing check-ins with yourself. If you're not sure about it, you can ask those around you, because sometimes they can see better than we can if we're doing okay or not. But it's really important just to prioritize your mental health the same as you would your physical health, and get those checks if you need it.
No, I totally share the same sentiment. So during my studies, 88% of the participants reported that stigma was their treatment barrier. So I'm definitely not shocked to hear this. And according to a lot of psychiatric epidemiological studies regarding treatment seeking barriers to seeking treatment in regards to mental health, our maladaptive cognitions are what keeps us from seeking treatment. Like mentioned, we believe in our minds that it's a sign of weakness. We believe that it won't benefit us. We believe that it won't work. So that maladaptive cognition is our preventer from getting the help that we need. Also, another finding from my study was that individuals, there's another good one, but it's okay. I'll keep rolling. Yes, but stigma, I'm very shocked to hear that that's still a thing keeping people from seeking treatment. But I do want to tell our listeners out there that DOD, the military, and the Air Force, they are pro mental health. They are advocates for mental health. They want you to seek treatment. They want you to get the help that you need, because at the end of the day, you are their biggest, their most valuable assets. So please do seek treatment. So ma'am, while I have you here, please tell us how the 72nd Medical Group is taking care of those who do present with PTSD.
So we do have a dedicated mental health team in our mental health clinic that's staffed with clinical social workers, psychiatrists, psychiatric nurse practitioners, and psychologists. We provide individual and group therapy, as well as psychological assessments and medication if that's needed. So we work tirelessly just to meet the need for members that are, you know, on our installation. So we do only see active duty within our clinic. We have a clinical social worker housed down in the primary health clinic that will see family members. She will see children if needed. And then we work closely with our helping agencies to pass referrals back and forth as needed. So the Air Force makes sure that we stay up to date in the latest evidence-based treatments for PTSD. And then at every encounter, even if you go down to see your primary care physician, they are screening for risk of suicide or homicide. They also are screening for symptoms of anxiety, and they're screening for symptoms of depression. Mm-hmm. And so we have a good working relationship where PCMs will walk members up to the mental health clinic if they are concerned. And then we have a pretty healthy relationship with some of our off-base partners. So if members are in need of a higher level of care, so if they are at risk for a suicide or a homicide, right, or if they are just not doing well enough where they need to be seen on a more frequent basis, we can refer them to those agencies or just for outpatient mental health treatment out in the community. Right. So, and I'd say one big way that we also support is doing things like this. So we will get requests pretty frequently from units and commanders just to come out and speak about mental health treatment, mental health symptoms, resilience, right, all of the things. So we're available. That's a shameless plug from the mental health treatment. The mental health clinic. You can reach out to us if you are seeing different trends in your unit and want us to come out and talk to your unit. We can.
Well, I'm very happy that you're here to do this and to spread awareness about PTSD. And I'm also happy that our listeners can get to hear how our own medical team here is there to support them when they need them. So I appreciate that. Do you have any advice to share to other units on how to manage people that work for them but have PTSD?
Sure. I mean, I think just to start, just knowledge is power. So getting information from professionals if needed. So it doesn't even have to be to the point where you don't have to wait until the symptoms are there to know of the symptoms. Right. So reaching out to us for outreach, reaching out to any of our helping agencies to come and do any of the briefings that we have on just mental health signs and symptoms. And then just also creating a culture that is where it's healthy for help, right, help seeking. So having an open door policy for your members that might be there, creating a culture of togetherness can help that. And then just your supportive leadership, that also is a big thing because it sort of trickles down from the top. So I'd also say flexibility within reason. I know that some of our, sometimes that's not possible when you think about the mission, just having too much flexibility, but treating our most important asset like people, right, would be a good start.
Yes.
As well as peer support programs. I know that some of our units have started to lean towards that, of being able to interact on a peer level. And then just checking in. I think, right, being a good human is a good place to start.
I couldn't agree with you anymore.
You don't have to have all the clinical knowledge. You don't have to have all the degrees,
right,
just to be a good human being. So just creating those supportive and inclusive environments,
yes,
will be the best way.
Those are really, really good tips on how to manage individuals in your unit that present with symptoms of PTSD or is diagnosed with PTSD. I do want to let you know, our listeners know, that it's important that we get to know our personnel. Be mindful of HIPAA. Allow them to come to you and share their disorder or talk to you about their medical history or their health. But it's definitely important to get out from your desk and get to know your people. That's a start. But what message would you like to leave our listeners with during this National PTSD Awareness Month?
So I just say, I mean, it's important to reflect on the impact of mental health conditions and mental health diagnosis. It can impact more than just the individual that's having the experience. especially our military personnel and our veterans. It can impact our units. It can impact their families. I mean, and it can impact our national security.
Right.
So I think that it's important to just remember that help and support are available. So please just continue to raise awareness. I mean, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all of us. Just to raise awareness about PTSD and just seeking treatment in general if you're not doing okay. This can help to decrease the stigma around help seeking. So just know that you're not alone. You heard the statistics before, and there's resources and professionals like myself and like you that are ready to help and support you on your journey to healing. So yeah, that's just my foot stomp is just please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and be a good human.
That's a good, strong message. I felt that. I do want to thank you again for coming out and sharing this time with us and for sharing your insights. We truly do appreciate what everyone does over there in the Med Group. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Tinker Talks, focusing on National PTSD Awareness Month. Until next time, please take care of your mental health.